Hello, and a very warm welcome to Centre Stage. It's great to have you with us. First, I'd like to congratulate you on the 34th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, as the war rolls on and diplomatic efforts remain deadlocked in Syria, new developments take us by surprise almost on a regular basis. But this time round, the surprise was of a different nature. There have been serious problems on the Turkish border, a massive influx of refugees into Jordan, and of course, destabilization in Lebanon. But no state had embarked on aggressive action within Syria's borders, but Israel did. That was a surprise for Syria, but now Syria is saying it too may have a surprise for Israel. Welcome back. Now, to further explore Syria-Israel attack, two top guests join us today. Now, here in the studio, I'm delighted to be joined by an established and professional researcher and political analyst. Dr. Rahmat Haji Mina, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Central Stage.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Great. Now, let me just tell you that Dr. Rahmat Haji Mina is a Professor of International Relations and Politics. He's also a top researcher with the Middle East Center affiliated to the Iranian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and an established journalist and top writer working with Tehran Times. Now, over the phone from Toronto, Canada, we're delighted to be joined by an established educator and scholar, Dr. Ahmad Al-Hashimi. Welcome to Central Stage.
Mr. Vijani, thank you for having me, and congratulations to you and the Iranian people and all the free people of the world in commemorating the return of Imam Khomeini from Paris to Iran.
Thanks very much indeed. It's great to have you with us. Now, Dr. Ahmad Al-Hashimi is the founding director of Ihsan Muslim Heritage Society in Toronto. He has, among other things, presented several impressive articles on various Islamic topics, particularly on Mahdism and doctrine in Tehran on several occasions. Time for a short break, but after the break, we'll be discussing Syria and its latest development. So please do stay with Central Stage.
In the early hours of last Wednesday, Israeli fighter jets violated Syrian airspace and carried out a direct strike on a scientific research center in Jamraya, located 25 kilometers northwest of the capital, Damascus. The Syrian army said in a statement that two people were killed and five others injured in the Israeli airstrike. Following the strike, the Syrian army accused Tel Aviv of being behind the unrest in the country. Syria also formally complained to the United Nations over the Israeli fighter jets attack, warning the United Nations of a possible surprise response. Syria's foreign ministry said on Thursday in a letter to UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, Israel and those who protect it at the Security Council are fully responsible for the repercussions of this aggression. In the letter, Syria also stressed its right to defend itself, its territory, and sovereignty. Following the Israeli raid, Iran's foreign minister Ali Akbar Salehi warned of an international plot in Syria, urging a serious reaction to Israel's aerial assault to prevent the regime from repeating such attacks. Salehi expressed hope regional countries would reconsider their approaches and unanimously condemn the Israeli regime's airstrike on Syria. He also added, quote, "We expect those countries in a region which are moving in a direction that is not in accordance with maintaining Syria's national interest to rethink about their strategy." Furthermore, the deputy foreign minister of Iran warned that the strike could have grave consequences for Tel Aviv. The raid was also condemned by China and Russia, with Russians calling it an unjustified assault and a blatant violation of the UN Charter. The United Nations itself, however, made a toothless statement on Thursday, voicing concern but saying that the UN doesn't have details of the incident, nor is it in a position to verify. Ban Ki-moon's statement typically called on all parties to de-escalate tensions and abide by international law. It's fair to say that Israel seems very unlikely to get off as lightly as it did in 2007. More importantly, if Israel follows up at a later date with more strikes, it will most certainly not be able to get off with condemnations alone.
Hello again, it's great to have you back with us. Now, there have been serious problems on the Turkish border, a massive influx of refugees into Jordan, and of course, as you said earlier, destabilization in Lebanon, as we all saw, as far as the conflict in Syria is concerned, and of course, its repercussions. But what happened last Wednesday, Dr. Ahmad al-Hashimi, was a big surprise, wasn't it?
For sure it was, because a country which has been weakening because of the Western-backed socialist drive,
right,
is not in a position to present itself as a threat. Most importantly, the SA-17 missiles which were hit supposedly are not something which are mobile and one can just move them and sneak them out for safe keeping, as some Western analysts explained, because on the contrary, if Syria wants to be ready for any future Western intervention similar to the one happened in Libya, they badly need these missiles.
Right.
So I would submit that whatever we read in the news analyses throughout the Western world, which are under the control of the Zionist institutions, are merely in favor to the Zionist entity.
Okay.
But of course, the Zionist entity living in that part of the world can be resembled with a person living in a glass house. He should never throw a stone at his neighbor.
Right. But, you know, probably Dr. Ahmad al-Hashimi probably actually wasn't a surprise. This isn't the first time, is it? Israel launched an airstrike in 2007 where there wasn't a civil war in Syria.
See, if this incident reveals anything, it reveals the fact that this Zionist entity is being erected in that part of the world for a purpose. The purpose is to keep all the neighboring countries weak and divided. And of course, this is not to throw the blame at Israel, but look at Iran's interest, for example. Many people consider Iran as a country which shouldn't intervene. Some Iranians say, let Iran leave the Palestinian issue to the Arab surgeon, referring to what Imam Khomeini described this Zionist entity as, a cancerous cell. The point here is, as a pampered force to the Western powers, the Zionist entity thinks that they can do whatever they want. You just mentioned the 2007 attack of a facility in Aleppo, north of Syria, close to the Turkish border. Again, Israel claimed that this was a North Korean collaboration with Syria to produce something which changes the name of the game, and all those details. But I would take this argument even further. When Saddam was busy in his eight-year bloody war with Iran, a number, maybe a dozen and a half of F-16 jet fighters flew at low latitude, and of course there was a clear Jordanian collaboration at that time with Israel to go and strike the military site in the suburbs of Baghdad.
Okay.
It was a material testing reactor France provided to Iraq for purely scientific reasons, but Israel, again, felt that such a technology shouldn't be in Arabs' hands.
Okay, excellent. Right, thank you very much indeed, Dr. Al-Hashimi, for that. Now, we know that this raid has been condemned by a number of countries and organizations such as Iran, China, Russia. Russia's calling it an unjustified assault and a blatant violation of the UN Charter. But when it comes to organizations, Dr. Hajimina, when we look at the UN statement made, we see that it's a rather toothless statement, isn't it?
Yeah. After really Israeli attack on Syria, so many country, regional country and international country, international players such as Russia and China really condemned this attack as unjustified attack and unacceptable, really an incident that is against international law and against UN Charter. But when we look at the really reaction of UN as a guardian of UN Charter, it was really soft reaction. So what's the reason behind this soft reaction is that really UN as an international organization really haven't been conduct independent act against really Israeli action at the past, and it's really because of three matters. The first matter is that UN as an international organization is not independent in its behavior, because it's really dominated by international great powers such as United States, Britain and France, who and on other part China and Russia, that really they try to follow their national interest. And the second point is that Israeli, I think Israel is a red line for United States as a great power in UN that try to dictate really its intention on UN. So the general, I think, Secretary of UN try to be very conservative about how to deal with Israeli action. As we look at the back, really during the Cold War, we witnessed this situation that United States opposition to the UN really paralyzed. Paralyzed the UN to really strongly condemn the Israeli action in after really Cold War in 2006 war against Hezbollah in 2008, especially about the sanction that Israel really hold upon the Gaza Strip. They are really this behavior against international law, international really principle. But the main reason, I think, that is the support of Western countries, especially United States, of Israeli action that really slow down the decision of United UN against Israeli behavior.
Great, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, talking of Israel's intention behind the attack, some analysts believe that the Israeli attack is meant to drag Syria into the de facto war that would give the West an excuse for direct military intervention in the Middle Eastern country. What's your take on that, Dr. Ahmad Al-Hashimi?
The 22-month internal strife in Syria has proved one thing, that the regime there is still intact and strong for internal as well as regional reasons. However, the international dimension of the Syrian crisis has put the world into two camps. The Western powers, led by the United Nations, as Michael alluded, a dysfunctional, paralyzed United Nations because of the fact that everything is being moved in the glass tower in New York. And on the other hand, the big powers representing Russia and China, and added to them a regional power represented by the IR. So here we go. We are playing with the fire here. The West realized that to ask Mr. Al-Assad to pack up and leave, this is not a good proposition. And Russia supported his stay and negotiating with the internal forces if there are really genuine opposition. But if the West and the Zionists have infiltrated the Syrian society and created this havoc, of course this fact need to be exposed to the world to see and watch. And of course, for that reason, Mr. Al-Assad has the right to say to the Zionists and the West, who are you? I belong to this country. I am here. I'm living here. I will die here, as he mentioned that a few weeks ago to a Russian journalist. Mm-hmm. So the point here is the simulation of the Libyan scenario in Syria is something which is being shelved recently. And even the head of the opposition who are trying to establish offices in Washington and in New York and meet with Barack Obama, they know it, that the West is not serious now about replacing Al-Assad. Mm-hmm. So what we are witnessing is something new, and that is being manifested in a statement in the House in the States of Union address of Barack Obama. Here I am quoting. He said, "We do not need perpetual war to preserve the peace in on a global level."
Okay.
So that by itself put the American administration at odds with the Zionist entity. The Zionist entity would like to see a weakened neighbor to the north by the name Syria. But, of course, Syria's military capabilities, especially when it comes to the rudimentary weapons, is a matter of concern. And what happened in past Wednesday at dawn time could have linkage with this.
But you mentioned
It was a preemptive attempt on the Zionist entity.
But Dr. Ahmad Al-Hashim, you mentioned actually what happened last Wednesday at dawn. Could you just shed some light on what really happened? Because we actually, there are two stories being portrayed. There is the this one story saying that basically Syria was carrying some aircraft, anti-aircraft weapons heading into Lebanon. Syrian sources are claiming that basically it was a research center which was bombed. So what does your based on your information, which story gains more credibility?
I would submit that the official Syrian one is nearer to the factual one.
Mm-hmm.
You may ask for the reasons. Reasons number one, when these weapons need to be moved. Normally, you see, nobody will move them at dawn time. Mm. Why? Because the light will break and things will become, targets will become clearer to the pilots in, right. in the sky. So at the timing of the military strike speaks volume. Number two, as I said, if the targets were anti-aircraft SA-17 Russian-made missiles carried on trucks, the internal need for them is much more than just sneaking them out of the country, as I disputed a minute ago. And number three, these advanced weaponry, when it is being provided to countries in the region, there are certain conditions. For example, Syria has both S-8 anti-aircraft and S-17. Right. These S-17s are more advanced. They need radar, and you see, they are easily to detect and all those details.
Okay.
So Syria is committed to Russia, and it won't come and jeopardize its relationship with Russia by not adhering to the promises of the good use okay. of it. Because this takes the matter from being an internal matter to a relationship between a state and another state. So Russia, next time, if Syrian leadership want any strategic weapon, they won't trust them. They would tell them, look, okay. one time we tested you. We gave you something, gave you leverage.
Excellent.
But you could not keep it in a safe place.
Thanks very much indeed, Dr. Al-Hashimi, for those comments. Now let's take a short break. After the break, we'll be talking about some other aspects of this latest development in Syria. So please do stay with Centre Stage. Hello again. It's great to have you back with us. I've been talking about the Syria, and we're talking about the Israeli attack on Syria last Wednesday. Now, what the question that I'd like to put to you, Dr. Hajimina, is that, you know, a number of people are saying that probably what happened last Wednesday had to do with the fact that the new Israeli government also has an anti-Syria approach, and probably Israel's foreign policy has not changed. So this was the message that Netanyahu was trying to send to the Syrian authorities, that look, our approach to Syria is not going to change, not even probably right-wing or any other sort of government coalition is going to be formed in Israel.
Yeah, in this incident, I think that there are two messages. The first message is for inside, I think, it's that this attack really have domestic consumption
right.
For really, because the situation inside of Israel is really shaky in terms of the elections and in terms of social and political and economic situation. So I think that the dominant party inside of Israel try to gain the popularity among the people, so to strengthen its power
right.
inside. And the other aspect of this, I think, incident and this attack on Syria is the message for outside of Israel, that is regardless of what is happen or what is going on inside of Israel,
right.
the foreign policy, I think, of Israel is really aggressive and against the regional countries, especially countries like Syria, with which has really against Israeli policies throughout the region, and so we can say that the intentions and message behind this attack are related to each other. When we wanted to speak about the intentions of this attack, we really faced with the domestic intention and outside intention. In domestic intention, we find the Israeli really endeavor to gain popularity among its people. And right. when we wanted to speak about the outside intention, I think that Israeli regime try to test the outside, really outside, really country, especially Syrian allies as Russia and Iran, how to react on this situation. And the other one of I wanted to speak about intention,
right.
Because they are really related to the message, and there is a very direct relations between intentions and message from Israel perspective. And the other is to provoke, I think, provoke Syrian, I think, reaction toward this incident that Israeli test how Syrian government try to react or respond into this incident.
Dr. Yes. Ajmal, the thing is that it's a very dangerous game that Israel is playing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really very dangerous game between Israeli and Syria. The main surprise is not because of the incident that happens, because Israeli regime used to do some incident or some attack in the past, as you mentioned, in 2007. But really, the main surprise that show the dangerous situation in the Middle East is that how Israeli regime choose this time after 22 months, really later, after 22 months of crisis, why Israel regime try to attack Syria in this time. And it is very important that how Syrian government how to deal with this I think attack and assault.
You know, there are a number of analysts saying that probably Israel actually started this raid at this time, as you said, after 22 months of civil war, because probably they want to provoke Syria and its allies so that probably Syria would react. And then in that case, that would be an excuse for NATO to come in and intervene.
Yeah, as you said, some analysts really believe that this assault on Syria is really try to provoke a Syrian reaction, and after that, that be under the defense, I think, defense principle for Israeli regime to invoke international intervention in Syria. But it's just, I think, one calculation or one guess about real hidden agenda behind this, I think, assault against Syrian territory. But how Israeli wanted to really, I think, invoke international intervention in Syria is not the whole story of this attack, because Syria, Israeli regime at this time, really doesn't need any any direct intervention in Syrian crisis, because as our guest really mentioned, Israel at this time try to weaken its really regional neighbors, but it's not in favor of Israel to change the situation inside of Syria in favor of a radical group which are really more aggressive against the Israeli regime.
But, you know, we talked about these groups. We know that the opposition, basically, they didn't react very harshly towards the Syrian opposition. They didn't react harshly towards this incident. So,
but opposition really blame Syrian government and on this occasion that it really haven't action, haven't react very strongly. But how Syrian government to because Syrian government really, as we know, acknowledge and promise to have a really surprise option in the future for the, and surprise retaliation for this action. But in this situation, not just friends of Syria as Iran and Russia, but the other country as Turkey and opposition blame this I think attack against Syria as a Muslim country, especially Davut Oglu, the foreign minister of Turkey, really condemned this attack as or the Arab League chief or really Islamic conference organization condemned this attack as on a Muslim country, and it's really we have so many condemnation against this attack because it is really against international law, against sovereignty power, against every I think accepted principle in international community.
Great, thank you very much indeed. Now let's take another short break. After the break, we'll be back with a number of other issues that we'll actually attend to right after this. Hello again, it's great to have you back with us. Now let's talk a little bit about the economic repercussions of the attack last Wednesday. Now oil prices soared to their highest level over the past 3 months amid increasing geopolitical tension in the Middle East, particularly the Israeli regime's recent aerial assault in Syria. So Dr. Al-Hashimi, briefly, there have also been important economic repercussions for the whole world.
The economic repercussion and its connection to the focus of the crises for the past six, 7 decades is something noticeable to almost all observers worldwide. And sometimes countries such as China and Japan, who are far away, you see, from the center point of the conflict geographically suffer a lot. Why? Because of the inflationary nature of the price of this strategic commodity, which is being produced in the region.
Right.
So it is a bonus and a damnation to the people of this region of the world, unfortunately. You see, for example, the Iranian are suffering because of the economic sanction. The Iraqis, another oil-rich country, we saw how the West imposed 12-year sanctions on them and then sent 200,000 soldiers to occupy the country for 8-9 years and all those details. Now, the Arabian Peninsula, the main producer of the oil, again, we are witnessing, you see, a great change in it. We can follow the news and you see, and analyze them in another type of setting. But the point here is whatever is happening in this world, whether it is natural in nature or you see, man-made one would be monitored in the world market, and you see its impact on, you see, the prices of the oil. This reminds me with what happened a few months ago regarding Iran's exercise of its sovereignty over Hormuz Strait. Again, one declaration and inflated, you see, the oil prices.
Okay.
But it was a temporary one, and the world leaders dealt with it with a cool-headed method, and of course, Iran's military capability in the region paid its dividend.
Great. And now there's one question I'd like to put to both our guests. First, Dr. Arjamina, the question that now everybody's asking is, what comes next? We know that Syria delivered a letter to the United Nations saying that it actually has rights to self-defense. And the country's ambassador to Lebanon also mentioned that Syria, I just read the quotation, the option and the capacity to surprise in retaliation. But will Syria surprise, do you think?
It's really a very important question about how Syria react to this situation. The main, I think, powerful player inside of Syria is army. The army entity is really prepare itself for facing war with really Israel regime because of its past experience. So it's really prepared itself for conventional war, not for civil war. So we really know that army in this side is not really weakened. But as you said, that Syria have really want to show any surprise option. I think that Syria have the right to defend its territory against any attack. But what's the surprise? It's the main, I think, question. What's the surprise? I think that Syria really and actually at this time and at this situation doesn't need to open up a new front, a new front, because it really engaged in civil war inside of its country, and it's not good for a army or for a country to engage in war in different front. But how Syrian government is to surprise is that I think Syrian government begin or a proxy war and utilize the other groups. And in other words, I wanted to say that Syria want to indirectly response to Israeli attack on Syrian territory by proxy or represent other group representative of itself. The I think experience that Israel in 2006 and 2008 really lost the situation, lost the war as a loser. So I think Syrian government try to choose this option.
Right. Thank you very much indeed. Unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for the moment. We wanted to put that same question to Dr. Al-Hashimi, but as I said, we are really short of time. But before I go, I'd like to thank again my top guests. We had Dr. Ahmad Al-Hashimi, the founding director of Ihsan Muslim Heritage Society in Toronto, and Dr. Rahmat Haji Mina, professor of international relations and politics in our Tehran studio. As always, your insights are much welcome and appreciated. Thanks for coming on, for talking to us, and of course, for those insights. Until next week, from me, our guest today, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye for now. Thanks very much indeed for watching. Thank you very much. Great to have you with us. Thank you.